right. Hopefully everyone had a good evening today. Thanks for tuning in to Hope on our radio show, and I'm your host, Riz, coming to you live each and every night. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, to all those that's on the board, that's dialing in, and to all those that's online, I appreciate your support because, like I said, this show was created to get the word out there, to get the message through. We have to get the message through to the people about the state of Delaware, but not only the state of Delaware, about our country, our nation as a whole. Because at the end of the day, we have to work together in order for us to be able to live together in this nation. Please excuse the noise if you hear the sirens in the background, and if you don't, thank you, Jesus. Well, hopefully everybody had a blessed little day today, and if you didn't, you already know God is still God. Either way, he's always by your side. He's a consistent factor in our life. When no one else is there, he is always there. Well, the topic of tonight's show is we all have a right to our own opinion. And we surely do, because that is why it's called freedom of speech. Now, even though we have freedom of speech, we have a new president-elect that threatens our freedom of speech, especially when it pertains to himself. So we can have freedom of speech as long as we're not talking against him. Well, well, well. That is not what I call freedom of speech. That's what I just call being a bully and not having thick skin to withstand all the criticism. Because once you're in the public eye, you are a target for criticism. And, you know, nowadays you have to learn how to tune out all the negativity that comes your way. And I know it's hard sometimes, especially when you're getting, you know, hammered over and over and over, but at the same time, if we teach our kids and tell our kids, you know, don't pay attention to all the negativity and don't feed into it, so why can't a grown adult do the same thing? Now, First Lady Obama, she made a statement when she was on Oprah's television show the other day, and she stated that this is what not having hope feels like. Now, y'all already know, the title of my show is Hope for All Radio Show. And I chose that for a reason. Because without hope, we have no life. So in order to live, we have to have hope and faith. If we don't have those two, we have nothing. We have nothing at all. And even when we are threatened with our freedom of speech, if we don't have that, we definitely don't have anything. It's like we're going back into some Cold War type of thing. And, I mean, it's just mind-boggling how things have been going within the media. Things I've been hearing, I really can't stand them. But the statement that Michelle Obama made, the statement that she made was a statement that resonated from so many people she might have encountered, or how some people in America are feeling, because you do have a lot of people in America that are feeling like they have no hope because of who our president-elect is. So, the news media, they jumped all over it, and they pretty much ran with it. But did they sit back and say, okay, well, let me see what did she mean by this, even though the way she said it. What did she mean? Well, she was speaking for plenty of Americans who probably feel like they don't have hope, how she feels. Now, I know everybody has the right to their own opinion, granted, but at the same time, when you have a platform, we have obligations, and we just have to be cautious of everything we say. Not even cautious. You definitely have to be able to keep it real, you know, tell the truth. And just like you said, everybody has a right to their opinion. So she said what she said. She said what plenty of millions of Americans are feeling, even what she feels. She feels disparity at this point in time because she's going to be, under Donald Trump. We all are going to be under Donald Trump shortly. So what does that say for us? I mean, we're all going to be under him, the reality. So we just have to sit back and see. Like I said, it's like watching a soap opera because you never know what's going to happen next. I mean, the man is very unpredictable. You don't know whether he's going to go blow to the right or the left from either day. You just don't know. He has no loyalty. We know that. I mean, because it's so many people that were with him along the way, by his side, rooting for him, despite all the stuff that came out, were still by his side, and they're not even in his cabinet. You know why? Their money wasn't long enough. That's how it seems to me. They did not have enough money for him to put in his cabinet. His cabinet is the billion, gazillion dollar cabinet. I mean, everybody has money. People who have money, what have they done for their community? What have they done to give back to to the people? Have they said, okay, let's open up this, let's do this, let's start this community-based something? I mean, even the churches that we live around here in Delaware, it's hard to say, but no, it's not hard to say. It is what it is. Most of the churches here, what are they doing for the community, for the people? I'm just waiting on God to bless me with the abundance of finance and the flow of finance that I may be able to do his will and to do as what's in my heart. But nowadays, everything takes money. But that's all right, though. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start from scratch without no money. How much help is out there to propel to the next level in order to get different things flowing for different people within the community? We have babies having babies. We need to start mentoring to these young ones, the girls, the guys. I mean, it's not easy trying to take care of a child. And even in this generation now, to raise a child in this generation, oh my God. It's rough. It is truly, truly rough. I am a single mother of three children, so I know how rough it can be and how it is. You have to have faith. You have to have faith when you're raising children. Oh, my Jesus. Because if you don't, you'll have no peace of mind. You'll go crazy. You won't have any money to feed them, to clothe them, put a roof over their head. You have to have certain things in order to be able to raise these kids. And when you have 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds raising children, it's sickening. It truly, truly is sickening. I can't fathom how in the world that they're able to even sicken. I'm telling y'all, I'm so disgusted, I'm speechless. That's how I feel. I'm so disgusted, I'm speechless. You know, because I have my own, like, that's why they said the females, they're the ones that can bring the children home. The males, they don't bring children home. So that's why they say when it comes to girl children, it's harder because you have to keep them in line and you have to tell them this, tell them that, because you don't want them to fall victim to today's society. And that's some real life stuff. You do not want them to fall victim to today's society. And it's so hard. That's why I use my daughter's situation as
a speaking point, because what my daughter went through, my oldest daughter, my 14-year-old mentally challenged daughter, what she went through, I pray that God uses her testimony and she can be able to help someone else, help her peers along the way, so they don't make the same mistakes that she made. That's why I told her, you don't have to be, you know, ashamed of your past or what you've been through. We've all been through something. It takes a strong woman to stand up and stand out there bare and naked and say, yes, I went through this, I've been through this, and this is why I'm saying this. This is why I'm telling my story, telling my testimony, so I can be able to help someone so they don't go through it, especially when you have a home you can call home, a roof over your head, food in your belly, clothes on your back. What makes a child want to run out into the street to no one, to nothing, to do what? That's the question, to do what? Nothing out there. Nothing out there, especially when you have no one that loves you and that wants to care for you, wants to make sure you're okay, make sure you're clean. I don't get it. These children, all they want to do is look to be grown and have sex and do whatever they want to do. Sex is the number one thing that they are thinking of. It's more to life than sex, young people, even grown people, because you have some grown people who can't seem like they can't live without sex. The fornication in this world is ridiculous. You turn on the TV, you see sex. I mean, when it comes to a perfume commercial, even hamburgers, they're selling sex with hamburgers. Are you serious? Sex with hamburgers. Mm-hmm. Sure enough. Music videos. When is somebody going to take a stand and say, okay, I have this platform, and in order for me to be a positive role model to the younger generation, they have to see it through what you do. So if you have the rappers doing this, what do you think the young ones want to do? They want to be just like the rappers, getting money, you know, popping bottles and, you know, dressing fly. That's all they see. It's more to life than that. You came from the bottom to the top, but how did you get there? It was a struggle. You can tell your story about your struggle, but tell them, okay, well, this is what you don't want to do. You can do it this a different way. You know, like my 14-year-old mentally challenged daughter, you know, she wants to be a musician, and I'm behind her 100%. She wants to be a musician. I said, you have an opportunity to use your platform that you're about to get, that God is going to give you, as long as you continue to do the right thing. He'll make sure he supply all your needs. Angel. But she can be a positive role model to her generation that's coming up by rapping, you know, being a musician, doing a positive instead of the negative. You can turn that negative into a positive, but they're going to have to want to do it. All we can do as parents is to plant that seed and to guide our children in the direction that they should go. Now, if they choose to go the other way, that is on them. That is not your fault. Most parents feel guilty that they have to, you know, most parents feel guilty that they have to do this and do this for their child. No, please don't. You are there to supply their needs. You don't have to break your back, break your neck to do this, and oh, no. And you definitely, if they have children, you definitely don't have to raise those kids. I see too many grandmothers raising children, raising their grandbabies. Stop it, grandmothers. You have to let these kids raise these children on their own. I hear you when you say, oh, well, I'm not going to let my grandbaby suffer. How is your child going to learn how to take care and deal with certain situations if you don't allow things to happen? You can be there when they need you, but to sit there and, you know, be like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do this, you got to do this, let them make their decision. They made a decision to lay down and have that baby without you, so they can definitely make a decision without you also. You don't have to be all up in their business. You've got to let them grow up. You've got to let them be an adult. Even if they're 14, you still got to let them make the decision to do what they have to do, especially if they have a baby at that age, that young age of 14. They made a conscious decision to lay down and have sex and to reproduce. There was a consequence. They knew the consequence, and they bared that consequence by having sex. So let them raise their children on their own. Now, you can be there, and, you know, if your job is to be there in the school or whatever it is, just like my friend said, my job is not to raise my grandchildren. My job is to sit there and give them what their parents won't give them, or whatever the case may be. Either or. But grandparents, please stop raising these babies. Babies, let the babies raise their own babies, man. Please. That's one thing I can say. I've seen too many grandmothers up and running around with these grandbabies. And, I mean, they've already done their job by raising the adults. They all sitting there have to raise the babies. That ain't right. That's not cool. Not at all. Now, definitely want to tell you all about what's going on in Delaware with this corruption. I'm still fighting. I will not stop the fight. I will continue to fight for what's right. That's one thing about me. When it comes to fighting for what's right, I'm a very persistent person. Just like with the young lady who is a former president of the Senate of House of Senate. Myself and Ms. Gilchrist of a client, Ms. Gretchen Gilchrist is my former attorney as well as another client. We wrote, we called, we faxed, we did everything we had to do in order to get the word out there when it came to Gretchen C. Gilchrist's nomination. Now, Patricia Blevins, she is the former president of the House of Senate for Delaware. This lady took it upon herself to withhold evidence from the entire Senate cabinet, which is 14 senators, that did not have the evidence against Ms. Gretchen Gilchrist before voting her in for her nomination. Now, this woman, Gretchen C. Gilchrist, is a former attorney. Now, her office was located at 11 West Commerce Street, Smyrna, Delaware. Now, she is a new commissioner at Kent County Family Courthouse. Gilchrist is not qualified for this position by far. Just because she's a lawyer doesn't make her qualified. Now, some people can fly by. Ms. Gilchrist was definitely one of those people. But the simple fact is her work ethics spoke for her. This woman was doing different paperwork for alimony support, child support case, and custody case, writing wrong documentation for was writing wrong information on her documentation, wrong social security numbers, wrong address. I mean, over and over and over. Like, how many times are you going to write wrong information? I really truly don't get it. These people are crazy. But Governor Jack Markell, he is the main one Governor Jack Markell, he's the one that still allowed and still told the executive committee board members of the House of Senate to vote Gretchen C. Gilchrist and the evidence that was against her. So he felt as though that regardless of the evidence that we gave to to everyone that she still needed to be confirmed because it was a favor for a favor. But not even a favor for a favor. It was retaliation against myself and Ms. Gilchrist's other client for bringing to them the information. But that should have been even a reason not to vote her in with all the evidence against her, because you're going to have this same person in the courthouse doing the same foolishness. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. Now, why in the world would they sit there and do something like that? I mean, that shows that they're not for the people. They are only for themselves. Because it's only because Gretchen Gilchrist was a campaign manager for Brad Eby. Brad Eby and Governor Jack Markell, for your favor, for a favor, comes into play. Because Ms. Gretchen Gilchrist, her experience is in Pennsylvania for 17 years, not Delaware. She's only been in Delaware for a couple of years, which has only been a total of, I believe, seven. I believe I have to check her profile again, but I know I'm right, 7 years. So in those 7 years, just like the ladies always, when we call, they say the same thing. They don't even know who she is, never heard of her before. So how in the world did she get picked? And these are hand-picked nominations now. And we had so many different people that we spoke to. You had Lydia Prigg, who is the director, she still is the director because the new cabinet has not been put into office yet, but she's under Governor Jack Markell's direction. Lydia Prigg is on the board and commission department, and she's the director. Monique Hampton, she is the deputy director. Now, these women had an opportunity to do something right, but nobody seems to want to do the right thing. So when is someone going to say, okay, I'm going to do the right thing? What does that take for someone to do the right thing? I mean, you let me know. No one wanted to do the right thing. Everybody just wanted to turn a blind eye and didn't want to listen or do anything. That cannot be. Not at all. That cannot be.
See, Gilchrist, is that family court, is that Kent County Family Court with no experience, and the last thing I want to happen to someone else is what happened to myself and the Gilchrist other client, who she dropped without any notice and have the audacity to still take our payment, still take money from us for her services after she knew that she was not going to be our attorney anymore. Because July 1st of 2016, she terminated her Pennsylvania bar license. And after July, the month after July, she still collected payments from myself and her other clients that I spoke with. So this woman knew in October she was not going to be our lawyer, but didn't feel as though that, didn't see telling us was an essential thing to do, was the right thing to do. Not essential, the right thing to do. At the end of the day, everybody has to pay for their own sins. Everybody has to pay for their own sins. So, if she felt as though what she did was right, she's wrong. Because I know she has conviction in her heart now. Well, excuse me, let me take that back. Sorry, can't even say that. Because if she did, she wouldn't have did what she did. She would not have took our money and just ran off. She wanted to make sure she was good going in beforehand. That's not the way you do it. You got to do things the right way so they don't come back to bite you.
because everything you do has a consequence. If you do good, you're going to get good. Good is going to come to you. But if you do bad, bad is going to come to you. That's why they say you reap what you sow. And that is so the truth. You reap what you sow. So you can't just do whatever you want to do and nothing's going to happen. Oh, the devil is a liar. Something's going to happen. God will definitely take something that you like when you do things that are not pleasing to his sight. So remember, do as you just do good to others. Just do good to others. Live righteous. Now, I'm going to continue to work on Kent County Family Courthouse, and I continue to update you with what's going on with Kent County Courthouse. Now, as far as my 14-year-old mentally challenged daughter, I'm still working on her case as well, too, because somebody has to be prosecuted when it comes to her beating and when it comes to her rape. So no one has opened up an investigation in the state. No one. And I'm still trying to find out, why have you not opened up a case? What is the problem? So just continue to keep me in prayers that I continue to do what I have to do. Because you know when you're fighting against the state and the government, they don't like that. They don't take too kindly of that type of thing. But when it comes to our president-elect, we are at the hands of Trump. Facts have become interchangeable with opinions, blinding us into arguing amongst ourselves. As our very reality is called into question, people, we have to be careful about what's going on when it comes to him. Because he, Trump has a long list of lies. Political fact is where you can check your facts, check the facts against what Trump is saying. I know some people are like, oh, I'm not going that far. I'm not going to be going to political fact and check what he's got to say. It sounds good to me. See, that's where you're going to get caught up. That's exactly where you're going to get caught up. Let me tell you all something. Y'all got to pay very close attention. Trump is a big bully, very big bully. He bullies his wife, and you can tell he bullies his wife. He's nowhere to be found. But y'all make sure she is nowhere to be found, period. She won't be doing any speeches. She won't be doing anything. Now, you remember when he was sitting on that couch and the reporter asked her if they would hear from her anymore, she'd be doing any speeches. And she said no. She said she'll be taking care of her son He jumped in and said, yeah, she'll be doing speeches. She's like a bully. She was shocked. Shocked. That woman is from Ukraine, Russia, whatever. I can't even remember. She's from somewhere. So he has definitely threatened her. You cannot tell me a big bully like him out in the open has not threatened his own wife. She herself has not spoken. So before she messes up his spotlight, he gonna put her in the back burner. I mean, who doesn't take his wife? This man don't even want to take his wife with him along to the White House, okay? That speaks volumes to me. Because what man would want to be without their mate? I mean, the heart grows fonder for someone else when you're not around. So, Donald Trump just trying to have a big old orgy in the White House, if you ask me. Because all those women that came out, they only come out saying the same thing about Donald Trump for no reason. That man is a sexual predator, straight up. So, I mean, look how the man talks about his own child.
his own daughter. He references her boobs and her body and talking about some, oh, if he wasn't her daddy, he would date her. Man, please. They definitely did something. The way how he talks about his own child, I wish my kid's father would talk about their child like that. Oh, no. Investigation? Please, investigate. But that's just sickening how he talks about his daughter. It's sickening. That's why I'm telling you, something got to be going on with them, too. They got to be sleeping with one another. You know, I mean, it's not like it doesn't happen. It definitely does happen. You know, I heard it on the news and the media so many times. Oh, father sleeps with child, father sucks, whatever.
But Trump is definitely blinding us, when I say us, the nation, into arguing amongst ourselves as our very own reality is called into question. And it definitely is called into question. Donald Trump is playing himself as the victim when it comes to the media. The victim of unfair coverage. There's nothing unfair about how they're covering Donald Trump. He just does not like to see his truth up close and personal. That's too up close and personal for him, because he knows the media, they're going to dissect it, trisect it, and open it up. So, please, 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 don't let Trump blind us into arguing amongst one another. And I heard the term gaslighting. So I wanted to go look it up. And they were talking about the gaslighting part comes in when the fictions are disputed by the media. And Trump doubles down on his lies before painting himself as a victim. Sometimes threatening to revoke access. Trump, I mean, Lord have mercy. I can go on and on about this man, and I truly, truly don't. My main thing is I want to make sure that y'all keep hope alive. I'm worried about y'all. I'm not worried about this man. This man, God's going to deal with him because he has a lot to answer for. He has a lot to pay for. It might not have happened right away or whatever, but it's all, God is an on-time God. Y'all know I ain't lying about that one. He is an on-time God. He's going to take care of it all and do as he has to do. So, I'm not going to be for you too much longer. I know this is football night, and I know the games are on. You're out. You're chilling. You're relaxing. But hopefully you get home safely. And I thank those who dialed in, and I thank those who are online. Y'all, God bless, and y'all have a blessed evening.